looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Stores, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Bromishar's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuaid, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXT-TV, and Mohegan Sun. Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Okay, here we go. Blue Jays in town, and that really doesn't matter. The Red Sox have the division locked up. 8.5 game with 18 to play. Chris Sale on the mound tonight. So a number of things I want to touch on. Most notably, Sale's return to the mound. Specifically, if you're a Red Sox fan, what are you looking for from Sale? What are you looking for? I would like to know what you're looking for. I will tell you what I am looking for from Chris Sale. We'll get to that here during the program. And also, I mean, I hate to keep harping on this, but this bullpen thing, really, the closer and closer we get to October, I don't know, maybe it's just my personal anxiety, I really sort of do throw my hands up, and I am astonished at the fact that the Red Sox are in the predicament they are in with that bullpen. Really, when I stop and really think about it, because let's face it, we're all busy. So you're doing your job, you're driving somewhere, you're doing this, you're doing that, just like the rest of us, and then sort of you sit down and you watch the relievers and you watch them over the weekend in a series against the Astros. And you find yourself saying, how did it come to this? How did it come to this? How do you have a team with 98 wins with 18 to play? Meaning, if the Red Sox go 9-9 the rest of the way, they'll win 107. How do you have that kind of team and not know who the primary setup man is, or not know because you don't have one? How does that happen? It really is unbelievable to me that the Red Sox are in this spot. So I'll ask Jimmy Stewart, our producer, to open up the phone lines right away. 617-779-0985. And let me just tell you that as I'm looking at the headlines across Major League Baseball right now, Jim Murray, I just clicked on the homepage on the baseball homepage on the Worldwide Leader. You know what the headlines are? A's Manaea having shoulder surgery done for 18. That's a playoff team. Right? The Oakland A's of Sean Manaea.
Yeah. The guy who no-hit the Red Sox earlier.
Correct. Not pitching this year. He's done. Mm-hmm. Okay. Shoulder surgery. Next one. Yanks Judge takes BP, but wrist pain lingers. So the A's lost a pitcher. The Yankees doesn't feel like they're getting Judge back anytime soon. Like, I look at those two things and I say, well, there you go. The Red Sox are catching breaks. They're not even winning games and they're catching breaks, for crying out loud. I know they took one out of three against the Astros, but you get the drill. You know, sometimes things do just fall right for you. I have a hard time believing, though, that the Red Sox bullpen is going to be one of them. I want to get to Peter Abraham's story in the Globe today because I thought there were some interesting numbers in there. And I think finally, that everyone in and around the Red Sox has come to the awakened to the reality that the Red Sox bullpen is a major problem, not a minor problem, major freaking problem, which I've been saying all year. And finally, it occurred to me that there are people around the team, covering the team or otherwise, who have pulled their head out of the ground and awakened to the reality of just how big a problem that bullpen is. But first, let me start with Sale. And I would like to get some input from Jimmy Stewart, our producer, and Jim Murray before I get to you on the phones. And again, 617-779-0985. What do you look for from Sale tonight? Jimmy Stewart, let's start with you. What do you look for from Sale tonight?
Just two clean innings. Just get out of it healthy and treat this as if it's spring training. Get through tonight, 20 pitches, 30 pitches, two innings, and then we'll move on to the Mets.
Okay, so when you say clean innings, you don't even mean in terms of hits and runs. You just
I just want six outs. Six outs, no hits, one hit. That's all I need.
And come out of it healthy.
Yeah, no, I don't need to see 100. I don't need to see 99. I need two clean innings from Chris Sale.
Okay, Murray, what about you?
Yeah, it's the health is the thing that's the most paramount here. I don't care if the first pitch he throws is knocked out of the park. It has nothing to do with that, or, you know, giving up runs. It's his health. Is he okay? Is he going to be ready for the postseason? They have to build up here over the next, you know, three small starts he's going to get here before October comes. So that's it. Get out of those two innings healthy. That's the only thing that I care about. It doesn't have to look like how it looked against Baltimore in his last start where he struck out 12 against that AAA team. The other thing, too, I hope he doesn't push it. You know, just come back, get to a level of comfort, and then just go from there.
So the to me, that's one of the things that I want to touch on, that part of it, Murray, that he doesn't go too far with it or go too hard right out of the gate. Like, I don't see the purpose in that. But before I get to that, do you have any concerns about his ability to be ready and, you know, I say fully functional for the playoffs?
Yes.
In other words, and I'm sorry, Jim, but today's September 11th. The playoffs start on October 5th. And Chris Sale has thrown 68 pitches that start in Baltimore that you referenced in 45 days. He's thrown an average of 1.5 pitches per day for a month and a half. Okay, now that's in-game pitches. I'm not counting bullpens and everything else. 68 pitches in the last 45 days. Last year at this time, to give you an idea, David Price hadn't thrown any pitches in a game in 62 days. Sale is not that far, that much farther along than Price was. And we think that he can start on October 5th. Is that nuts?
Yeah, especially if you're going to be looking for him to go, you know, more than seven innings or, you know, deep into a game, which it feels like you're going to have to considering the bullpen. So, yeah, there's some concern there.
I mean, to me, I'm starting to look at that clock a little bit. I still think they have enough time because I wonder how hurt Sale really is. And before I tell you specifically what I'm looking for from Sale tonight, Alex Cora did speak with reporters before tonight's game. He answered a lot of questions about Sale and about the discomfort or inflammation Sale was having in his shoulder. And Cora said, quote, "I think it was more the second or third day that he was able to play catch, but not as usual. It took him longer to recover. It took him longer to recover. That's what we're going to take a look at. But obviously, we have to wait until tomorrow and Thursday. The way he feels, he should be fine." Okay, so you hear this a lot with pitchers. It's late in the year, they don't bounce back as well. Right? I remember Roger Clemens saying this years ago when he pitched here. And again, I covered the team back then. I got Clemens' final couple of years in Boston. And Clemens will say that on the day he pitched, he would rip it apart and then spend the next 4 days rebuilding so he could pitch again. And then when you get to later in the year, you know what pitchers start doing? They start skipping their side days because they're sore. The innings have piled up. The miles have piled up and they don't bounce back. And you know what I wonder? Whether this has happened to Sale every year and he pitches through it. And this year the Red Sox said, no, we're not going to pitch through it. We're going to shut you down and we're going to recharge you and reset you. Now, the second time they put him on the DL alarmed me because I thought, well, whatever they thought they got rid of, they didn't get rid of. Then, to Murray's point about what Sale will do on the mound tonight, do you know he came back early in the year? You know what his average fastball velocity was? I looked this up today on brooksbaseball.net. Okay, so again, you know, it's website data, but I think it's fairly accurate. Early in the year, Sale's fastball was average around 94 miles an hour. You know what it was in August in the one start in Baltimore? 98. Average fastball velocity of 98 against the Orioles. Why would you come off the disabled list and throw 98 miles an hour? Like, to me, that's stupid.
Well, he's trying to prove something. This is part of them having to try to save him from himself. That's what I think part of what that completely useless rush start against Baltimore was the last time he was out there. Like, see, I'm fine. I'm going to gas it and gas it and gas it. And he ends up re-injuring himself.
So Cora was asked about this, too, before tonight's game. That, you know, hey, could he dial it down a little, dial it back a little? Cora said, no, nah, that's just who he is, I guess. He threw 90 the first pitch in Baltimore, and Rickard, meaning Joey Rickard, hit a laser for a foul, and he was like, no, no, no. Let me get back to my 98-99. Even in bullpens, and this is still Cora, I heard the stuff he threw the last two bullpens is pretty similar to what he had in Baltimore, which I asked him the other day. I said, how do you do that? I mean, there's nobody in the stands, no hitter, nobody hitting, and he's like, I don't need that for me to get after it, which is great. We'll see what he has today. I expect 95 plus, honestly, that's who he is. And so I'll tell you, 95? I don't mind it. Fine, throw 95. Do you have to throw 99 or 100? Really? And you're airing it out in the bullpen at 99 miles an hour like you did against the Orioles? Again, stupid. If that's what's going on, that is stupid. And I would hope that someone would pull him aside and say, Chris, We want you to get a good, honest workout. We don't want you throwing 80 miles an hour. We don't want you throwing 85. But 90, 95, that's plenty. Keep it in that range for the workouts. In fact, keep it in that range for the starts over the balance of the season. And then when you really have to gear it up, it'll be there. In October, it'll be there. You'll have adrenaline. You'll have everything else. So get your arm in shape. And if you want to occasionally amp one up to 98 to know that it's there, fine, then do it. But to pitch at that number, average fastball velocity, I'm sorry. That is stupid. 617-779-0985. I'll get to specifically what I'm looking for from Sale in a minute. But first, Jerry's in the car on the bullpen. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, and I just was listening to what you were talking about, Sale, and I agree with you guys. I mean, is he sore? I'm sure he is, but this is a planned attempt to get him. When he comes out of the gate, typically early in the season, he's firing on all cylinders, and I agree with the plan. But onto the bullpen, I mean, how much Joe Kelly? Okay, these guys, what are they going to do? My only hope here is that a starter can kind of morph into that role in the eighth inning, and Evaldi or somebody, because that collection of stiffs in that bullpen is not going to get it done. You saw a real team this past weekend. You saw Joe Kelly. And the thing about Joe Kelly, not only does he blow, how deliberate he is between every damn pitch drives me crazy. It's like, dude, you stink.
Jerry, Hembree's worse. Hembree's worse. Watch Hembree between pitches with men on base, and they bring him in a lot of times with inherited runners. He's their quote-unquote guy with inherited runners, even though lately he has sucked at it. Okay, so again, the inherited runners thing to me always feels a little bit like a crapshoot. Like, that's sort of like the batting average with runners in scoring position. Like, it seems to change from year to year. Some guys are good at it, some guys aren't. To me, ideally, the guy with runners on base, inherited runners, you want one of two things, a strikeout or a double play. So it depends where the runners are. But ultimately, you want a guy who doesn't allow contact. So the Red Sox have some power arms out there. The problem is that those guys don't throw strikes. So anyway, that's where we're beginning. Chris Sale in the bullpen. And I want to, the caller mentioned that the Red Sox are going to need a starter to come out of the woodwork and pitch out of the bullpen. The Boston Globe suggested one today, but raised the possibility of Stephen Wright being a candidate to help out of the bullpen in October. We'll talk about that, and more specifically, some of the numbers in that story that should absolutely scare the hell out of you. We'll get to those when we come back.
The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub. The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
He's been disciplined enough. I know he's been itching to go out there and contribute. It's been hard for him. I actually just watch from the dugout and the clubhouse and games on TV. But for him to go out there, and even though it's a short one, it's pretty exciting. We are too. Today's a big day, but I think tomorrow will be a bigger day, and then the day after will be a bigger day, and see how he reacts to it. But it seems like everything should be fine. You know, from now on, we're going to have this guy every 5 days on the mound.
It's Alex Cora on Chris Sale. So again, he should be on schedule from here on out. I don't have a calendar in front of me, but I'll punch one up here quickly. So again, Sale is pitching today. I think the Red Sox said he's going to go again on Sunday, right? So that's regular rest. He'll pitch on Sunday against the Mets. That would put him on schedule for presumably the 21st or the 22nd. Again, I don't have the Red Sox schedule in front of me, so if there's an off day in there, they could push him back a little bit. But after tonight, he's pretty much going to get three starts left. And then, if he pitches on the 26th, that'll be it. I mean, he won't go again until October 5th, so he'll get a nice little break there between the end of the regular season and the playoffs. The playoffs for the Red Sox are going to start on October 5th either way. Okay, they're not going to be the wild card team. They're going to be in the division series, so they won't play until the 5th. So after tonight, three starts for Sale. Three. And what I'm going to look for from Sale tonight, velocity isn't chief among my concerns. I know Chris Sale can throw hard. Now, if the velocity's really low, like 90 or, you know, 89, or I would say even like 92, then all of a sudden I'll say, well, wait a minute. Like, that feels a little lower than it should be. Okay, then I would look for it. But what I really want to watch with Sale is where he's spotting his fastball and the sharpness of his slider. Those two things are really paramount for me in terms of watching Chris Sale tonight in the brief time that he's out there. Because I think those two things ultimately are what make him who he is. That is fastball, the ability to command the fastball and the sharpness of the slider. So I looked this up quickly today. Do you realize that over the since Chris Sale has become a starter, there were only four people in the big leagues, four pitchers in the big leagues over that period of time who have walked fewer than two batters per nine innings and made 200 starts. Sale is one of them. And his strikeout rate is the highest of those four. The other guys, I think one of the others might actually be Porcello. But the point being that Chris Sale's in the strike zone or close enough to it that the opposing batter thinks it's a strike. And when you miss this much time, the thing that will go more than anything is command. It's not velocity, it's command. So that to me is what I would watch. I'm going to get to the bullpen here too in just a minute, but we'll do that momentarily. We'll get to your calls first. Mike is in a car. Mike, what do you got?
Hey guys, first after listening to the show, driving home every night, I want to thank you for waking me up again as a Red Sox fan. I'm kind of back to my pre-04 temperament and just watching this, not just the bullpen, but I think the pitching staff as a whole. I mean, when we get to October, what the hell can we expect from the starting rotation? I mean, how many starts have we seen where guys have gone, you know, 3 1/3, 4 2/3, maybe 5 innings, and the bullpen has to get it from there? Even just this past weekend, driving home, listening to the game, Martinez hits a home run. They're up 3 runs. I go inside the house. I take a shower, come back down, and tied 5-5. I mean, what? How can we expect this team to go anywhere when, in my opinion, the pitching staff as a whole is just suspect and completely unproven in October?
Okay, so, Mike, listen, you should have your doubts about them. This is the number one question on the team is October and the pitchers. I mean, I don't think there's any two ways about it. Their starters have failed in the last two Octobers, and their bullpen feels shaky. Shaky. Shakes the clown in the eighth inning, if you ask me. Our producer, Jimmy Stewart, just brought these numbers in here. The other four playoff teams in the American League, in all probability, I shouldn't even say in all probability. What's the gap between Oakland and Seattle right now?
I believe it's 7 games.
Oh, my God. All right, so the playoffs are a lock. It's going to be New York, Houston, Cleveland, Oakland, and the Red Sox. So Jimmy Stewart, our producer, just brought this in here. Do you know what the Red Sox eighth inning ERA is this year combined against those four teams?
I do.
I know you do, Jimmy. I'm trying to. Murray, you actually looked at this sheet, didn't you?
Yeah, I didn't see the combined. I was just looking at them per team.
Okay,
and some of the per team are stunning.
5.54. 5.54. And the whip is almost 2. It's about 1.8. That's a big number. Okay, again, that's two base runners per inning, pretty much, against those teams. And what should really scare you are the ERAs against the Yankees and the Astros, because those are the two really good lineups. The Indians have a good lineup, not a great one, and Oakland, let's face it, pretty makeshift. It's a platoon lineup. That's the way the A's built it. That's the way they've always built it. So against the A's, they've pitched okay in the eighth inning. Against Houston, the ERA, 9.00 in the eighth inning. 9.00, and the whip is almost 3, which means Houston is loading the bases every time against you in the eighth inning and getting at least one run home. So think of that. You're going to play that team in October, in all probability. Maybe you catch a break. Maybe the A's beat them. So again, things are breaking the Red Sox way. I told you, I just read you those stories today. Sean Manaea, done for the year with the A's, and Aaron Judge, still not feeling right with that wrist, and it's now September 11th. So the door is ajar to get to the World Series. There's no two ways about that, and the Red Sox are good enough to get there in all probability on their own anyway, I think, particularly if they don't have to play the Astros, given what's going on with some of the other teams. Matt's in Acton. Matt, what do you got?
Hey, I was wondering how decent Evaldi has to throw a decent game to have you encouraged tonight. And also, I am worried that the Jersey stabbing maniac that I love will try to throw 300 miles an hour tonight.
So, Matt, that concerns me about Sale, too. But on Evaldi, let me just ask you quickly. I think they said Evaldi's going to get – he's going to go in after Sale, right, Jimmy? What did they project for him, three innings?
For Evaldi?
Yes, three innings.
Three innings for Evaldi. So, Matt, let me ask you, what would be a, what would be a good three innings for Evaldi? Give me hits, walks, and strikeouts.
Hits, 4-1-3.
Okay, 4-1-3. So you're not far off. I'd like to see fewer hits than innings with Evaldi. I mean, he always allows more hits than innings, which irritates me. If he's that good, he should allow fewer hits per inning. Fewer than one hit per inning. The walks I'd like to see zero. This is a guy who throws strikes the way we've been told he throws strikes. Don't walk anybody. And I would like to see a strikeout per inning. Even if he gives up a run, like I'm okay with one run in three innings. I'm okay with that. But I want to see fewer hits than innings pitched, no walks, and at least one strikeout per inning. If Evaldi's going to be that guy in the bullpen, he's got to give you that. Okay, I want to get to the bullpen too, those numbers in the Peter Abraham story. But just quickly, if you miss any portion of this program, you can always catch the Baseball Reporters podcast whenever you want on our website at 98.5thesportshub.com. For that matter, we also have the Behind the Scenes blog there where we add a written component to the program. You can check that out on our website at 98.5thesportshub, as well as on the app, the Sports Hub app on your iPhone, Android device, whatever it is. Also, you can check out Matt McCarthy with the Hardcore Baseball podcast, also on the app or at 98.5thesportshub.com.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Here's the thing I find most amazing. Baseball gets caught up.
You don't quit on your team.
When you want to win, play through anything.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Simple question. Who's the eighth inning guy right now? If you're a Red Sox fan, who's the eighth inning guy? How about who's the leader in the clubhouse? How about that? Who's second? Who's third? Like, rate them for me. And if you tell me there's no clear choice, in fact, I don't know who's first. I don't even know who's second. Like, that's how I feel. I look at it and say, throw them all in a pile. Like, you can't make an argument, a really persuasive argument for any of them, which is the scary part of it. Again, so think of what it is like for Alex Cora, sitting there with a World Series at stake, maybe the most successful Red Sox regular season team in history, and he doesn't know who he's going to give the ball to in the eighth inning of a playoff game. It's unbelievable.
It's almost as if he's spinning a wheel of some kind in that.
So, yeah, exactly. Dugout. Yeah, I would. If we had to give that wheel a name, Murray, what name would we give
it? A wheel of gutless bums. Yes,
gutless bums. I like that. Gutless bums. Good. Needs an adjective. That's a good one. The wheel of gutless bums. So, Peter Abraham in the Globe today wrote a story about Stephen Wright now entering the mix for the Red Sox bullpen. And at least, unless I remember right, I read it this morning. I don't think at any point Abraham suggested that Stephen Wright is a candidate for the eighth inning. I think he just said bullpen. Wright did pitch the seventh and the eighth the other night. And so Abraham writes, imagine the Red Sox starting a game with Chris Sale, using Wright for two innings, then bringing in Craig Kimbrell to close. An opposing hitter could face pitches ranging from 76 to 100 miles per hour. And I would tell you that that part of it, the 76 to 100, isn't even necessarily the most stark contrast. Hell, Pedro Martinez could come close to doing that on his own. Throw a curveball in the, you know, right around 80 and a fastball in the high 90s. But the idea that you would see Sale's fastball and slider, then knuckleballs from Wright, and then a breaking ball and fastball from Kimbrell, and the breaking ball going the other way. Like, you would see just about every pitch you could possibly get in the big leagues from those three pitchers, right? Like, you would really throw hitters for a loop. That said, the idea of pitching right in the eighth inning scares me to death, okay? Now, the frightening part is that we're even considering this with Stephen Wright. And the reason we're considering it is because of these numbers. Writes Abraham that the bullpen badly needs help is obvious. Now, I want to stop here and say thank you, finally, an acknowledgement from someone covering the team and around the team in black and white, saying that the relievers who pitched for this team early in the year were never really a solution, and they need help now, and Dombrowski didn't get it at the deadline. Okay, and Abraham goes on. The Red Sox had a strong group in the first half, the relievers ranking among the American League leaders in earn out run average, whip, and strikeout to walk ratio. They also allowed only 28.8% of inherited runners to score. Now, I will tell you that despite those numbers, I didn't believe in the bullpen in the first half. And if you listen to this show, you know that. Abraham continues. Since the All-Star break, Red Sox relievers have a 3.91 ERA, seventh in the league, average. Average. By definition, seventh is average. A whip of 1.41, which ranks 12th. And a strikeout to walk ratio that also ranks 12th. And they've allowed 37.5% of inherited runners to score. Okay, so again, just go by the rankings. The rankings, that's really all you need to know. ERA for the relievers, 7th, middle of the pack. Whip, 12th, one of the worst in the league. And strikeout to walk, 12th, one of the worst in the league. And they've continued to win games at a record pace, at least for the franchise, because their offense is so good, and typically they have a lead in the late innings, and the competition stinks. And Abraham continues, in the last six games against two division leaders in Atlanta and Houston, Red Sox relievers allowed 13 runs on 21 hits over 27 and a third innings, and that's an ERA over four, between four and four and a half. Seven of 13 inherited runners scored, which is more than half, which is dreadful. Okay? Cora said, quote, "We're figuring a few things out while we're trying to win games." So Cora suggests there that it's all about experimentation, and that's why the numbers are what they are. I do not believe that for a second, because Joe Kelly is now who he was 2 years ago. Matt Barnes, essentially the same guy. Same for Heath Embry. These guys are all who they've been. And all of a sudden, magically, we are now expecting this to change in October. Like, that to me is the most disturbing part of the whole thing. That Dave Dombrowski is sitting here when these guys have years of track record and saying, well, let's hope one of them gets hot in October. When you have a team that is going to win somewhere between 105 and 110 games. Unbelievable to me that you would get to this stage and then hope that someone comes out of the woodwork, and yet that's where we are. Tom is in Dorchester. Go ahead, Tom.
So, boys, forgive me for my extremely pessimistic view, but I do not think the Red Sox will get past the second round of this upcoming playoff season. I don't even think they'll get past the first. As you guys have been saying all, you know, pretty much season long, the bullpen is a mess. Now, with Dombrowski at the helm, this is going to be, you know, his third bout in the playoffs. They've gone into it, assuming the Yankees don't do anything at the end of this year. They've gone to each playoffs the past 3 years as the division leader. And if they get bounced anywhere before the World Series, in my opinion, I think he really needs to be considered for getting his butt out of here and needs to be gone. He's ravaged the minor league system. I mean, yeah, he got Chris Sale, but I mean, my dead grandmother could have did that in her sleep, for God's sakes. Like, how could you not, like, mess that up? How could you mess that up? And then, I mean, just this whole bullpen situation, just stay out there, you know, on trade deadline day and say you feel comfortable with this bullpen and your track record, you know, just indicates that you just have a tough time at it anyway. At this point, yeah, when does ownership get fed up with him?
Okay, so Tom, I have a hard time believing that they're gonna that they would fire Dombrowski at the end of the year, but I do think that his reputation will take a massive, massive blow if the Red Sox don't make a legit run at a championship. Or I'll tell you what, at this stage, even if they do, and they're and their bullpen does them in the end. In other words, let's say they lose in Game 7 of the LCS, but it's because of their bullpen. Who takes the heat for that? And to me, the answer is Dombrowski. Quickly, Anthony's in Rhode Island. Anthony, what do you got?
Naz, what's going on?
What's on your mind?
Just a couple of thoughts while I'm waiting for the water to boil for my macaroni. First of all, I think we've got to give Dombrowski a little more credit than a lot of us are willing to do. Guy's never been a bullpen guy, granted. Everywhere he's gone, that's always been kind of an afterthought. But something I want to throw out here. Everybody's talking about Eovaldi, existing guys in the bullpen. Your seventh, eighth inning guy, job is to come in, throw strikes, get guys out.
I know the job, Anthony. What's the point? What's the point?
Why isn't anybody talking about Erod as a possible seventh and eighth inning guy, a la David Price from last year?
Okay, and so thank you. I think people have raised his name. And so to me, my question with Eduardo Rodriguez is, can he do it? He's never really pitched out of the bullpen and been a late inning guy. And that's a different kind of scenario. Remember, he can't get into the late innings as a starter. Now we're going to drop him in there in the seventh and eighth with men on base and all of a sudden ask him to get out of jams? So maybe he can do it. I'm just telling you again. But this is where we are. Think of the stuff we're grasping at. Eduardo Rodriguez, who's never done it. Steven Wright, who's a knuckleballer. Or hoping that Matt Barnes or Joe Kelly or Heath Embry or whoever else taps into some magic and gets on a hot streak. This team has won 98 games. They're going to have 100 wins by the end of the week. And yet we are sitting here saying, well, you know, that eighth inning thing, how are they going to do that now? How are they going to? So what's the plan there? It's September 11th. It's not May 11th. We are now, there are only 18 games to go. And so you have Cora saying things like, yeah, we're trying some things out. Because they don't have it. They don't have an answer. So what they're on, not only are they on plan B, but they're at a point where they're saying, what's the best option? Because they don't have a good one. And they know it.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.